You know, there's a lot of distractions, even as we're sitting here, if we've been here before, you know, there's things that just aren't quite right, and we're going to realize that, you know, when things aren't as we expect them to be, that, you know, it throws us. And today, God, we're taking a look at what it means to be prepared. We're taking a look at what it means for this community when we gather in this place to be prepared for maximum impact, because we believe you're doing something great in this community. We believe that you're continuing to draw people to you, helping people take next steps in their relationship with you. And God, we're each a part of that. We're each a part of, in some way, maybe shaping or forming what that looks like. And today, God, I'm just going to ask that you would help us to see all that goes into to what happens here, to for us to maybe take a step in appreciation of what takes place as we gather in this room on a typical Sunday. And then, God, maybe to see how we might be a part of literally being a part of you meeting, God, people in this place. Because the roles that we play, the little things that we do, all go together in this beautiful symphony that allows people without distractions to experience you here. And so, God, I'm just going to ask that you'd speak to us. You'd maybe help us to see what our next step is today in your name. And according to your character, we pray. Amen. You know, one of the things we do here each week at Crosspoint is you hopefully everybody got a weekly a moment ago, even though our greeters didn't have them at the door. You hopefully got one some way. Inside is a connection card. I invite you to take that out. And if you're a regular attender or partner, you can fill that out. Just any information that's changed is all we need. You know, every now and then somebody says, you know, what's the difference between a regular attender and a partner? Well, regular attenders are somebody who come and sit and participate in the service, enjoy the service, and then you go. Partners are those who make this happen. And so if you serve somewhere or if you volunteer at any front here at Crosspoint, then you're a part of making this happen. We look at you as a partner. You're not just somebody who's coming into this place, and there's a season for that. But there come times we say, you know, I want to provide this for others. That's one sign of a partner, somebody who financially fuels this place. If you give in any way financially, that's you're fueling what happens here. You have kind of a stake in the ground. You have some ownership in the experience here. And so that's what it means to be a regular attender or partner. If you're a guest with us today, welcome. We are glad you're here. And I'm going to assure you, this is not normal for us. In fact, I usually cannot see the people's eyes in the back row, all right? So you know, I'm going to tell you, this is not normal, and yet, you know, you're a part of an experiment today, and so we're glad you're here. You can see the heart of this community, and we would invite you to also fill this card out, and if you're a guest, we'd love to know as much information as you're comfortable sharing with us, and then at the bottom, there's a question: how'd you hear about Crosspoint? How'd you hear about this community? Always interested in finding that out, and in case you joined us just in the last few minutes, you know, we're doing an experiment. We're talking about being prepared today. We're talking about the awkwardness that comes when you walk into this room, and maybe if you've been here before, it's different than what you expected. You know, and in fact, today, we're going to experience, and, you know, we do crazy, crazy things at Crosspoint. In case you haven't noticed over the years, if you've been with us, you know, we cut down Christmas trees on stage. We've hit golf balls at you in the audience, foam ones, of course. You know, we wouldn't do that with real ones. But I mean, we do whatever it takes to bring an experience to you where you hopefully can in some way experience God, and maybe God can become a little more clear to you in a distractionless experience. I mean, not that we can remove all those, but we go to great lengths to remove distractions from this experience. And so, you know, today we're talking about how we get prepared here at Crosspoint for the next big season we're entering. How do we kind of continue to help God, people see God clearly through this place? And you know, this really kind of started for me where we're going today. A couple weeks ago, is we had some friends come over for dinner, and it was a Sunday, and we had a full day here at Crosspoint. We had a dinner or a lunch engagement out. We got home mid-afternoon. Our house was a wreck, and they were coming for a cookout at our house at 6:30. And it was kind of a typical thing when our kids walk in the door. They just like disrobe as soon as they get in the door, start throwing their clothes all over, putting their play clothes on. I mean, you know, Maggie has like four outfits on in an hour, and they're all over the place. We're starting to pick the house up. It's 5:30, 4 to 6. I'm kind of preparing meat to put on the grill. Julie's finishing some sides, still putting cookies in the oven. And you know, our kids are now up for a nap. We're going to let them sleep right up until we come until our friends come. And all of a sudden, it's about 6 o'clock, half hour before dinner's supposed to start, and the doorbell rings. I'm kind of like, oh, who's showing up? I don't have time for this. I don't have time for somebody to be showing up at my house at 6 o'clock. We've got guests coming soon. We're not ready. You know, dinner's not prepared. And it's our guests. They just kind of ring the bell and then walk on in. And it was one of those awkward moments where all of a sudden, you know, I'm feeling really bad because, you know, they're kind of having to make themselves at home. They're kind of having to entertain themselves. I think somebody else even came to the door, like some friends of our kids, and they had to answer the door because I was out back, you know, with the barbecue cooking still. And you know, it's just one of those really awkward moments where I'm not able to connect with them because I still had preparations to do. I'm still getting, you know, the meat ready to put on the grill. Julie's still getting stuff out of the oven. She's, you know, picking up the kids' mess that they'd left. And here are our friends sitting in our living room. And I just remember having this thought and thinking to myself, thank God these are good friends. Because, you know, if there's something, you know, we'll put our house together so much, you know, for good friends to come over. Because, of course, you know, we don't want them, like, sitting on our kids' dirty clothes. But, you know, it's not like they were there for the first time. And yet I began thinking, I thought, man, what would this have been like if these were somebody who we were really trying to, like, you know, engage and entertain for the first time. And we're like, man, would you guys come over for dinner? And there's the first time they'd ever walked into our home. And here we are, not ready. We can't even talk to them. We can't even kind of welcome them to our house at the front door. They can't have to make their way in on their own. And then they just have to find a seat somewhere and wait until we get done preparing things. And you know, and we ask them if they can go upstairs and take care of our kids while we're finishing up. And I mean, that would have been really, really awkward. And you know, and I would want to be on my A game if I was having guests in for the very first time. And, you know, it got me thinking about what we do here at Crosspoint and how, you know, we have a hill that we die on here at Crosspoint. We have a lot of hills we die on. One of them is called excellence, and it's one of those things that, you know, we were really big on excellence around here. Not that you have to be excellent when you come in here, not that we expect everybody to have it together, but it's actually the opposite of that. But, you know, when we come and we shape our environments, we come to serve, we want to bring our A game to this experience. You know, whatever role we're in, whether it's setting up equipment here on stage, or it's holding babies, or greeting somebody at the front door, or brewing coffee, or, you know, checking kids in at kids check-in, we want there to be an excellence. We want to bring our best to that, and we want to come and be prepared so that we can have our A game on. Because we believe that when that happens, God uses this community to touch people's lives in ways that can't happen where there's all kinds of distractions going on. And so, you know, today, we're going to kind of talk about what it means to prepare to help people see God clearly in this place. Wow, that's a big thing right there. And, you know, and what we see is in Luke chapter 10, we see a picture of Jesus talking about this. We're in this series, Prepared. We're talking about what it means to be prepared. In fact, it's a red series for us. We're looking at some of the red letter teachings of Jesus. And if you have a Bible that has red letters in the New Testament, the back portion of the Bible, then those are the literal words of Jesus. Those are the words that Jesus literally spoke when he was on this earth. And we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 10. We see this encounter, and this is Luke. He was one of the official autobiographers of Jesus' life, one of the approved autobiographies of Jesus' life, as he kind of recorded what took place as Jesus was walking this earth. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all official biographies, so they tell some of the same stories with a little different angle. They're all seeing it from a different perspective, and so some of the stories are the same. But this story we only find in Luke, and it's in Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38, and here's what it says. It's actually taking place in a home when some guests are showing up at the front door. A guest is showing up at the front door. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary chose what is better, and that will not be taken away from her. Now, there's a lot of things going on in this passage, right? A lot of different angles going on, a lot of little things that maybe stick out to you. But, you know, the bottom line is both of these women love Jesus. Both of these women are wanting to serve Jesus. And yet, you know, Mary's kind of like, hey, you know, I'm going to do it this way. And Martha's saying, I'm going to do it that way. And Martha starts complaining, saying, hey, Jesus, look at Mary. Tell her to get off her butt and get busy doing something. And it wasn't so much that she didn't like her style as much as she was just like, hey, you're neglecting our guests. There's still stuff that has to be prepared. And notice what the text says there. Can we put two screens back up there, Chris? It says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. I mean, she was distracted. Why was she distracted? Was she distracted because, you know, Jesus was just saying, oh, you don't need to prepare. Just show up and nothing needs to be done. I mean, you don't need to cook dinner for him. Is that what he was saying? No, he's not saying that. What he's saying is, there's a time to do preparation. She was distracted because she was trying to prepare when she should have been engaging or connecting. I mean, think about that in this story. You know, Jesus didn't come down hard on Martha. He didn't chastise her for this. But what he said, Mary's doing what's right. This is the time I'm here. Your guest is here. You should be engaging with her, with me. He said, your preparation should have been done before I got here. He's saying there's a time to prepare, there's a time to get ready. But when you're preparing, when you should be connecting, then you're helping others connect, then it results in being a distraction. I mean, it's hard to really focus on what's going on when you're busy making preparations. Some of you are realizing that right now. I see your eyes. I usually can't see your eyes. I'm seeing your eyes going all over the place up here. I mean, people are doing crazy things and walking up and off the stage. I mean, it's hard to focus. It's distracting when preparations are being done and we should be connecting. And the result of this is that when we do this, others don't see God clearly. So today I wanted to kind of take a look. We're taking a look at what it means to be prepared. We're going to kind of take a behind-the-scenes look at how we make this place go around here. We're going to kind of pull open the curtain. You're going to see the infrastructure, kind of some of the environments that we put a lot of attention into shaping very specifically so that people can see God clearly when they come into this place. And and we're all about removing barriers. I mean, barriers are the things that stand in the way of us maybe experiencing God in a new way. Barriers are distractions. They're things that take place that prevent us from all that God has in store for us. And so we're going to kind of experience this in real time. And the first couple things we see is taken right out of the story of Mary and Martha. In fact, two things that happen here. First is that, if you're volunteering around here, if you're engaging around here, one of the lessons we can take from Mary and Martha's life is show up on time. If you're serving on a team someplace, if you're often given a call time, our volunteer team leader say, hey, we need you here at this time to do preparation to get environments ready to go. Now, we always know there's exceptions. Somebody comes down, sick overnight, or, you sleep in and you miss your alarm. We always know that. But, sometimes, you think, well, are they really going to miss me if I don't show up on time? In fact, I've had conversations with people, I'll often say, hey, where do you serve around here? And they'll say, oh, man, I am just a greeter. And I'll be like, what do you mean just? What do you mean just a greeter? Do you realize that you're the first front that people experience when you walk in these doors? And if you're not prepared and ready and in that place when this community begins to gather, whether it's somebody that's been here every week or somebody walking in for the first time, that this community is misfiring if you don't see that your role is vitally important. Or somebody might say, well, I'm just a small group leader. I mean, I just lead a small group in Upstreet. I just sit with a bunch of kids and kind of lead them through some questions and talk to them. I'm like, what do you mean just? Do you realize that there are kids that walk in this place every week that don't have anybody in their life that invests in them, that sits with them and kind of pours their life into them and helps teach them virtues? There may be no person in that kid's life outside of their parents that takes significant interest in their life, and you have the chance to shape and form kids' lives. So, that's what happened. Don't say, I just do this. And so we show up on time because there's preparations that need to be done. There's things that happen ahead of time. So this environment is ready, and this isn't happening right here. Because when that happens, the next thing can happen that we can see out of this story, that we're prepared to engage. We're prepared to engage in whatever environment we're serving in. We're not busy doing details when we should be engaging and helping people see Jesus clearly. And so I want to take a look today at some of these roles, because there are no meaningless roles around here. I mean, you might think, man, I just do this or I just do that. Nobody will notice if I don't do that role. No, we care way too much about you to ask you to do something meaningless. We care way too much about you to value your time too much to ask you to do something that isn't significant. So we want to kind of walk through today and kind of identify how everything that happens around here, there's a great deal of intentionality that takes place as we prepare this environment. So I want to kind of take you on a tour through our environments here at Crosspoint. You've experienced some of them this morning, but I want to kind of just lay out some of the intentionality, some of the things that we're doing to continue to prepare and kind of laser-like focus this community in on being ready to help people that come to us experience God clearly here. And so, one of the first environments, one of the overarching environments, is our load-in, load-out team. And just this week, today, we begin loading our equipment out. The summer's coming to a close, and the school's got to get this place turned around for kids to come in here, because I guess they want to have a school in here in a couple weeks or something. And it's not just a church, and so we have to load all the equipment out. Next week we begin full load in, and this is kind of the muscle team here at Crosspoint. This is the team that does much of the work you're seeing done right now in this room, that begins at 6 in the morning, goes till about 8 o'clock in the morning, 2 hours to get this environment prepped and ready for our team leaders to come in and do the final details in our specific areas. And then there's a whole nother team that stays after services from about 12 to 1:30, loads everything back up on a trailer, packs it all up so it's ready to go again the next weekend. And it'd be really easy to think of these loading guys and women that work on this team to just be like, man, it's just a menial task, not really important. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do load in, load out, which you don't. It'd be easy to think, man, anybody could do this job. It's not really all that important. But let me tell you something. These guys aren't just moving equipment into place and setting up banners and putting screens up and getting chairs set up and getting tables set up and kids' environments set up. This team literally is transforming this space. These are engineers that are transforming the space of this school into a dynamic environment for life change. It's a critically important role that happens each and every week during the school year when this 24-foot trailer pulls up here, and in 2 hours, this sterile environment is turned into a dynamic environment for life change. It's a critical piece. It's one of the important things that people do around here to create this space. Another one of our teams here at Crosspoint is First Impressions Hospitality. You may have bumped into some of them today when you came in. This is kind of our front door greeters that are often out on the front porch. It's our auditorium door greeters that basically hold those doors shut for you until this space is prepped and ready for us to have people come into the auditorium. It's our coffee bar volunteers who keep us caffeinated, who keep the coffee flowing. So we're, you know, because we're really big on having great coffee here at Crosspoint. It's our hospitality team at Kids Check-In that makes sure that there's an environment where you can systematically check your children into a safe environment and have checks and balances so those kids are safe when they're back there. And these teams are the first contact point when people walk into this environment here at Crosspoint. In fact, our goal in hospitality here at Crosspoint is that when you walk in the doors, that you feel like somebody was expecting you to show up. And so when this team is not prepared, when greeters and people that have environments to prepare so that they're ready to receive guests when we walk in, or somebody that's here every week, when you don't feel like we were expecting you, then we're misfiring here at Crosspoint. I mean, because we've all been in that place. I mean, think about this. Have you ever been to a place where you showed up someplace and you felt like that really awkward experience? You're like, man, some of you are feeling this right now. I feel like I shouldn't be here. I feel like, I showed up at the wrong time. I'm in the wrong place, and I'm just not supposed to be here. Anybody ever felt that way before? Maybe you're feeling that right now. Yeah, you know, our family was, we took a trip to Kings Island this last week with my wife's family. All of her brothers and sisters gathered at Kings Island on Monday with all the cousins. Great day, fun day down there. And, you know, about 6 in the evening, we had to gather at the front. We went up to the front gate because one of Julie's brothers had to head on home for the evening. And so we're saying goodbye to their family. My son had to go to the restroom. I had to go to the bathroom. And so I'm like, hey, Matt, let's just hit these bathrooms right here. And it's kind of under the main gate area of Kings Island. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. If not, I'll kind of paint this picture for you. And so there's two doors that are restrooms. It says restrooms. And so I grabbed his hand. We start bolting toward the one on the left. And we get up to it, and it says women. So I'm like, oh, that's the women's. Let's go over here on this side. And so we walk on in. And as soon as I walked in, I thought, man, this is kind of strange. I don't remember men's bathrooms having this many stalls in them before. And so, you know, I didn't think anything of it. So I go on in. And I'm like, Matt, you're going to use this stall. And I'm going to use this stall. And I get in there. And then a second thing hit me. And I notice. I'm like, man, it's like 6 in the evening and these seats have still not been peed on. I mean, it never happens in a men's restroom. I mean, the first thing you always do in a men's restroom is go and wipe everything down because, you know, people peed all over the seats. And you'd think I'd be tuning into this at this time. And so, you know, Matt's, I can hear him go in the bathroom and I'm getting ready to use the, you know, facility myself. And all of a sudden, I just break out in a cold sweat as I hear women's voices. I am not kidding. Somebody checked me on this story. They're like, that is too convenient of a story to happen. No, this happened this week. I break out in a cold sweat, hear women's voices. All of a sudden, everything starts making sense. Why it's so clean, why, you know, all these stalls are in here. And I just like break out in a sweat. I'm like, what do I do? I mean, do I just kind of like hide, pick my feet up and sit on the toilet, you know, so nobody can see me? Do I yell, Julie? Do I yell for her to come in and escort me out? Because I start to peek over the partition and there's like a mirror in front of me with like all these sinks and there's like four young women, maybe upper 20s, mid to upper 20s, and they just like, it gets silent as they like look up and see this man. And you know, it was the most awkward moment I've had. I'd like to say in the last year, but it was probably in the last week because I have a lot of these moments. I have a lot of awkward moments like this. And so I'm like, Matt. He's like, I'm ready, Dad. Are you ready? So I'm like, Matt. You know, we both come out of our stall. I grab his hand and I'm like, I'm apologizing to every woman at the sink. And they're looking at me like, what in the world are you doing? And I like rush Matt across the gateway because if you know Kings Island, the men's room is on the other side of the walkway. Forgot that. I mean, it's been a few years. So, you know, I go into the men's room. I break out in another cold sweat thinking, man, security is going to be at the door when I walk out of here. They're coming to get this pervert that just was in the women's restroom. And I, you know, all this stuff's going through my mind, and I begin to realize that was really awkward when you're in a place that you weren't supposed to be. And then I begin to realize, I'm like, well, yeah, that's sometimes how it is in places like churches, yeah, that aren't hospitable, that just, you know, just kind of everybody gather. Yeah, we know everybody here. I mean, it doesn't matter if we're prepared or not. You know, it's okay if we're not prepared if people walk in because they're used to this place. But, you know, you can walk into this place as a guest and feel like, man, it is very awkward. In fact, people don't even act like they were expecting me to show up today. You know, we see this reality over and over again here. In fact, you know, we send a new guest survey out. If you've been a guest and give us your email address or you're a guest today and you pass it on to us, we're going to send you a survey and say, hey, tell us your first impressions of Crosspoint. We really care about what you experienced, what you noticed first. You know, that helps us continue to shape and form what happens here. And the typical feedback we get, nearly in every piece of feedback, has to do with how people received when they walked in the building. Rarely does it have to do with the kind of music we experienced or how good it was or bad it was. Rarely does it have to do with the teaching. It has to do with how people first felt when they walked in the door. In fact, here's, you know, the last three or four comments from the question, what did you notice first, that are on our survey. You know, one person anonymously said the greeter outside the main entry door, and there was a greeter immediately inside the entry door. It's the first thing they noticed. People were waiting for them to, you know, to kind of say, hey, we're glad you're here. Because we get really excited when people actually show up. You know, another person said, the pastor was the first one to greet us. As soon as we walked in the door, he seemed genuinely excited we were there. I don't remember who that was, but, you know, I don't usually greet at the front doors. Must have been after a service between, like, first and second, because I'm often hanging out at Connection Point, making myself available for guests, because I love to meet people that are newer to Crosspoint. I love to kind of put names and faces together. I invite you to stop by and say hey to me afterwards today. But I must have said something to this person. They noticed that. Somebody else said, I noticed how friendly everyone was when we arrived. Next comment said how friendly everyone was. Lots of people greeted us and offered to show us around. I mean, this is huge, Crosspoint. When you're helping people navigate, if you're on a greeting front, and even if you're not, if you're just standing in the lobby and you're connecting with people that maybe you haven't met, you know, I've introduced myself 20 times in the last 2 months to somebody that's like, I've been here 5 times. And I just say, hey, is this your first time with us? We've never seen you before. And it's embarrassing, but I'm willing to take that risk because I want to engage with people that are newer, saying, hey, we're kind of searching. You know, the worst thing could happen is somebody walks in here and they feel like they're a man standing in the women's bathroom. Awkward experience. All right. You know, whether you're serving at the auditorium doors out here or you're serving at the front doors or coffee bar, kids check in. I mean, these are first touch points, very strategic places where we try to shape an environment that's open because we want to say to our community, man, we were expecting you to show up. Our second big environment here at Crosspoint is our kids' environment, and that includes Wambaland Nursery and Wamba Preschool, and then Upstreet for elementary students, and our 5th and 6th grade, Area 56. It also includes what's known as Kids Club, which is an environment just for volunteers' kids, volunteers who say, man, I'm going to serve 1 hour, I'm going to attend service the other hour, so our kids are going to be here both hours, and that's a place where after their kids have gone to their kids' environments, they can go to this fun room full of video games and all kinds of fun stuff, Wii's, and they can go in there. In fact, they run to that room because they love going in there. And that's a place we have specifically for volunteer kids after their kids have been in our other environment for an hour. It's restricted only to that group of kids. Kids want to go in there, and if they've not attended another their normal environment, they can't go in, because we want a place for volunteers to know, I mean, our kids are going to have fun when we're here serving. And, you know, these are big environments for us. In fact, we put a lot of energy into our kids' environments. Right now, today, we've had over 40 volunteers back in our kids' environments, first hour and second hour total, that make those environments go, pushing buttons on computers to put visual presentations up, dancing and having a lot of fun in front of kids, helping them engage and sing. We've had you know, people in the nursery caring for crying babies, snotty-nosed babies, babies that are laughing and happy to be back there. We've had people back in Area 56 connecting, sitting on the floor, hanging with kids, you know, kind of counseling, mentoring them, building things into their lives. This is what happens in our kids' environments. And it takes a lot of volunteers. Over half of our volunteers on Sunday mornings are back in those environments. And I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't know there's a better place to serve if you're looking for a place for maximum impact than back with our kids at Crosspoint. I mean, it's one of those places when you serve back in kids' environments, you are being a double blessing. And what I mean by a double blessing is you are blessing the kids you're serving with. I mean, you're holding them, you're caring for them, you're revealing God to them through your life. And again, you don't have to be trained in elementary education to do this. We try to make all of our kids' environments something that anybody could walk in and give you simple tools to be a great teacher and be a hero in the classroom. But you're also a blessing to the parents. You're a blessing because you allow parents to drop their kids off into those environments and to allow them to feel like, man, this is a safe place for my kids to go so they can come into this room and they can see things, they can hear things, they can experience things that they may not hear anyplace else in our culture. It's a blessing. It's a double blessing. About 2 years, 2 months ago, we had an open baptism here at Crosspoint, which we had this huge tub of water in here, and we do these a couple times a year. And first time we've done an open baptism, and you know, we had a couple people that were preparing and planning to be baptized, but we did something different. We said, you know, there's a lot of people at Crosspoint that have never taken that step after receiving Christ's grace to follow in Christ's example of baptism. And that's just one of those next spiritual steps, and we're all about removing barriers. So all week long before that baptism, we prepared. And we went out and got over 100 towels. We had dozens of shorts and shirts that we had printed up to say baptized on them. We had, you know, undergarments. We had disposable swimsuits you could use as undergarments. Didn't know they made disposable swimsuits. Really kind of cool things. And we had all these back there. And so we could say on that Sunday morning, man, if you've never taken this step to in water baptism after you've received Christ's grace, then maybe today's your day. Maybe today's the day for you to do that. And we said, we know what you're thinking. I didn't bring an extra change of clothes. My family's not here. Because there's always an excuse. There's always a barrier that prevents us from taking that step. And we said, you didn't come prepared, but we did. All week long, we've been preparing. We've got a whole team of people waiting to greet you back here to hand you clothes that you can get in. We got product. We had high-end product for people. We had hair gel. We had hair dryers, everything. We thought of everything. And we said, maybe today is your day. And I'm standing up here in the water just kind of waiting and watching. And some of the most beautiful things happened. In fact, I watched a young couple from the back row get up and walk to the back doors. Couldn't tell who they were. I just saw them walk out and walk their infant daughter down the hallway, down to Wombaland, the nursery room. And then they came back, and he made his way up here and just stood and waited for her as she went out and got changed and then walked in here, got in the water, and got baptized. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And a couple weeks later, she was talking with our team leaders from our children's area. She said, you guys, you don't understand what it means to have these kids' environments back here. She said, on that particular day, you know, sometimes we put our daughter back there, sometimes we keep her in service. But if I didn't feel like that was a safe place where I could go drop off my daughter, she said, I would have never taken that step in water baptism. And I said, man, way to go, children's teams, for giving us a safe environment for life change to happen in here. Cool, cool stuff. You see, when we serve kids, it's not just building relationships. It's not just what's happening when you're sitting on the floor with a small group or pushing buttons on a computer to put visuals up on the screen so kids can understand God. But you're providing a place for parents to come and potentially changing the dynamic of families for eternity. You know, the third big environment that we focus on is this room. And as you can see today, we did not focus on this room. In fact, we did not prepare before you came in today. Very minimal preparation, mostly our staff team preparing today. Our volunteers, we had them show up and start doing their work up here just because we wanted to create that kind of uncomfortable, awkward feeling that comes when we're not prepared. And I can see it. I can see in your eyes. I can still see shifty eyes. You usually can't see those. And you know that I see you today. You actually have to stay awake while we're going through this today. And, from the singers to the band to all the cables getting plugged to the guys in the back and the girls in the back, you know, plugging cables and dialing in knobs and pushing faders to the visual team, focusing the screens and making sure you can engage with everything that's happening in this room. There's a lot of preparation that takes place in this space so that people can come in here and we can remove as many distractions as possible. So we might experience something that God has for us. And, you know, a few weeks ago, we got this anonymous guest survey through that link that we send out, just saying, hey, give us some feedback. We got this really cool story. Here's what somebody said. I don't know who it is. Comes in anonymously, but they wrote, I grew up going to church, and I used to be very involved, but I've had some difficult experiences in my life in and out of church that I guess you would probably say postpone my relationship with God. I thought, man, that's what Cross Point's here for. There's people all the time that join us that either are disconnected from God, never have really found a place where they can pursue that, or just said, man, I've had some bad experiences, and I've just walked away and said, God, I'm checking out for a while. That's what Cross Point's about. We're trying to remove those barriers to get a place where you can re-pursue. I assume it's a woman. She writes, my husband grew up Catholic, and his first real experience was at our last church, which was kind of a bad experience. The atmosphere here at Cross Point is something I was used to, and I immediately fell in love with it my first week here, but I was worried what my husband thought. A couple days later, he told me, you know what? It's really weird, but I can't help but keep thinking about that church and how I can't wait to go back. We're looking forward to going back this Sunday and everyone after that. We need a church where we can be ourselves without having to be ashamed or fake who we really are. A place where we can simply grow in our understanding and our relationship with God. Man, this is what it's all about right here. This is why we put intentionality into shaping this environment. It's why we prepare. It's why people show up at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning to start loading in, to start shaping and turning this sterile environment into a dynamic place for life change. It's why we bring music in here that, you know, you may not hear in other churches. You know, we've done some questionable things in here. I mean, we will walk the line. We'll walk right up to the line of what some people would say is sinning. And if it helps communicate the message of Christ in a real way, in a way you can connect with, then I mean, we're all about it. Maybe we'll use video clips from sitcoms you see on TV. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Sometimes we just got to be crazy because we want church to be fun. We want to remove barriers for people to take those next steps. And here's why. Because when the band is prepped, when this team is ready and they're getting zoned in, and they've got their environments ready, and they're focused on what their role is, which is mainly to become transparent, mainly to just kind of be here to help guide this community into an experience that can in some way help them take a step closer to God. You want our sound and visual tech teams in the back have things dialed in. They've got the screens dialed in, the vocals dialed in, the musicians dialed in. When they're shaping this environment from a sound and a lighting perspective. You when the lights are dimmed, when this environment is turned into something that just a sterile, bright environment, we can see everybody in the room, then all of a sudden we begin to realize that this is a dynamic place where I can kind of settle in and say, you know, what is God saying to me in this place? And when our hospitality environment's out at the front doors and coffee bar and kids check in, when these people are prepared, when this community begins to gather, when they're in their places and they're ready to just love on people and give people that first impression, man, these people were expecting me. I mean, it's as if they prepared and knew I was coming. When our kids' environments are engaged and classrooms are prepared and ready and teachers are standing at the door ready to receive kids into the class and, hey, your kids are going to be safe. Even if they're crying, don't worry, we'll take care of them. We'll let you know, put your number on the screen if you need to come out and get them. When those things happen, this environment turns into a dynamic place for life change. And it's ready. It's ready. What's it ready for? It's ready for what? Is it ready for a sleek service, a great service with great music and cool lyrics, things you heard off the radio so you can have fun? And say, man, I went to church today. I put in my time. Is that what we're getting ready for? No. Jesus gives us a real clear picture in Matthew 20 what his heart is about, what he's about, what we're doing as we do this here at Crosspoint. Take a look at the screens. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Jesus gives us this picture of the kingdom. Here's what he says. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day. A denarius was basically a day's wage. And he sent them into the vineyard. About the third hour, which would have been about 9 o'clock in the morning, the day started at 6, and so the third hour would be 3 hours later, 9 o'clock. It says, he went out again. He saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour, which would have been about noon, 6 hours after 6 in the morning, noontime. And then he went again about the ninth hour, which would have been 3 in the afternoon, and he did the same thing. And then about the 11th hour, about 5 p.m., he went out again and still found others standing around. He asked him, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. Then he said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius, which was a day's wage. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. It's really interesting because here at Crosspoint, I mean, there are people that show up early. And sometimes it'd be easy to be like, man, they're really committed. They show up earlier than others. They put in more time. You know, where God's really going, I just saying, hey, I don't care. I don't care what your role is as much as that you actually fulfill the role that you've agreed and that I've called you to fulfill. It says, when they received this denarius, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat all of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who is hired last the same I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. A couple observations on this story. The first thing we see here is the master, the landowner, was incredibly generous. He was generous. I mean, as we think about this, he's saying, hey, we're preparing, and there are going to be some who engage early. There's some going to be engaged at the middle of the day. Some are going to come at the last minute. The goal is that when you come, you engage. And in a very real sense, he's saying, you know, there are many who are going to come to me. There's some who are going to come to me later in their life. And all I'm asking you to do is prepare the field so that when people are ready to come and receive me, to see me, to experience me, I want my field to be ready. Second observation we see here is the master was incredibly persistent. I mean, he didn't just go out at the beginning of the day, but he went out again at 9. He went out again at 12. He went out again at 3. Even an hour before the day ended. The day ended at 6. He went out at 5 o'clock, still looking for more workers because the harvest was plentiful, he said, and yet there were few workers to accommodate those who wanted to come experience him. It's like he was saying, hey, there's people all around me who are wanting to come experience me. Anybody that's willing to engage, willing to be used, I could use your help because there are people all around you who are hurting, who need to come, and I will bring people when you're prepared and ready. And so he's very persistent at going after people, saying, hey, do you want to be about what I'm about? Third observation was in everything the master did, his eye remained on the harvest. I mean, he may have been paying attention to detail at times. He may have been doing things that everybody didn't understand. He may have been generous with those who had worked a few hours and the same generous to those who worked all day. But his eye, his focus remained on the harvest. He never took his eye off of his goal, which was helping people come to him and receive him, experiencing him clearly. And we've been communicating all through the series, through the last few weeks, why are we getting prepared here at Crosspoint? What's the next big season? Well, we're entering a season as we head into this fall where we believe people are going to be very spiritually open to receiving God in their lives. It's one of those seasons where as we head into the fall season, you know, all we have to do is look around and say, hey, do you see people in tension around you? Because when people are in tension, their hearts are more open to say, man, maybe I need to see what God might be able to do with where I am in my life. As you look around you, do you see people that are in trouble around you, whether it's marriage trouble, financial trouble, trouble with the law, having struggling with their kids, whatever it might be? When people are in trouble, their hearts are more open. It's like their hearts are ready in a different way to receive maybe what God has in store for them. As you look around, do you see anybody in transition around you? Maybe families in transition, families breaking up, families maybe coming together. People moving in around you, people having babies. These are all transitional moments when people's lives are in transition. Our hearts are more open to God. We believe that God is looking out at this community and saying, man, my fields are ripe for harvest. The workers are few. Will you engage and help people see me clearly? So what I want you to do is take out your connection card. And, you know, we're always interested in taking next steps. We don't come into this place and just sit and experience and go. We're saying, well, what's that next step? And you have to wrestle. We don't make anybody take a next step. But we want to provide you opportunity to say, how can I take that next spiritual step in my journey? And today we're talking about being prepared here. And, you know, one of the things that makes this place run is volunteers. And volunteers who get that, man, I am a significant part of shaping this environment for people to experience life change. And maybe you've never engaged here at Cross. Maybe you're newer and you're just saying, man, maybe it's time. Maybe God's prompting your heart and you're like, it's time for me to become a part of this and just maybe provide for others what I've experienced myself as I've come into this place. And maybe you have no idea where that could be. But if this is where your heart is, the first next step is saying, hey, I want to begin and volunteering here at Crosspoint. We're going to help you in that process. In fact, we'll send you a volunteer survey later on this evening, a link that you can go online, take a survey, and it will help us see uniquely how you're wired and how we can maybe line you up in a place where you're naturally gifted to serve. You might say, man, I don't have any gifts. Yeah, everybody's got gifts. God uniquely gives them to you too. It's like he gives each person something to bring to this table to shape this environment. Maybe you know where that is. There's a number of them listed here. Maybe you walk in here, man, I love kids, or I just love talking, connecting with people. Maybe you love coffee, you want to serve out there, you're a musician, you know, wherever it is. You know, is there a place on here? You say, man, this is one of the places I want to begin to engage. And, you know, if you mark that, we will follow up with you. We will have one of our team leaders follow up and begin to process how that might happen for you. And it's not a lifelong commitment. We're gonna help you engage someplace, and then we're going to check in with you, say, is this working? Is there someplace else you want to serve? Or maybe you've just been serving around here and your step is to say, I'm going to continue serving. We are grateful. I mean, this place could not happen without our huge team of volunteers. There's like 200 people around here that serve over the course of a month. And we're grateful. This place runs on volunteers. We're going to be getting a free journey here over the next couple months. We're going to do this thing called a journey. And it's a time where we're looking for new small groups to start in homes. The only requirement is that you can read. All right. You mean you don't have to have experience in leading small groups. If you can read, you can lead and host a small group. And so maybe that you're saying, hey, I'd love to do one of those things. And we're going to talk more about that next week. Or maybe through this prepared series, you've been on the reading plan and you're just reading through the Gospel of Mark. And you're saying, that's a step I'm going to take. I'm going to read the next four chapters of Mark this week and see how God continues to root things in my life. As you're holding this card in your hand, I want to ask you to take the pen. And I'm going to pray and then I'm going to ask you to fill these things out. God, I'm praying right now that as we're holding these cards, God, this is a spiritual moment because we believe you're getting this community ready. There's some of us who have been around here for a while, and there's others of us who have just started connecting here. We're still trying to figure out what that means to us. And yet, God, wherever we are in our spiritual journey, wherever we are in our spiritual orientation, God, you can use us wherever we are. You know, there's a place that we can engage, and maybe something's began to connect with us around here. And we just want to be about returning that for others. We want to be about, you know, helping others who walk through these doors experience the same things that we've experienced. And God, we realize that when we do that, we're blessing others. And in some way, we're a part of what you're doing. We're a part of this restoring work that you're doing in this community. And so God, I'm going to ask you to awaken our hearts today, that you would help us to see how we might be able to be a part of this, how we might be able to just engage in loving on people here by giving a little bit of our time during the week. And so God, as we hold this card in our hands, as we hold a pen in our hands, God, this is a spiritual moment as we discern if we're going to take that next step, God, of in some way engaging here. And so God, this is our prayer in your name. Let me ask you to open your eyes and to grab that pen as the band begins to sing. Just say, you know, what's my next step today? If you can commit to this step and say, I'm gonna join this team, I'm gonna mark that, and it will follow with you.